condoms on.
We have felt your love over the last few days. The Bad Company getting us underway on Radio Caroline 259.
You're listening to Radio Caroline on 558, your all-day music station. 25 years old.
I have to hurry because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboats, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back.
This is Caroline on 199, your all-day music station. The sound of music all day, every day, on 199 meters medium wave.
And on Radio Caroline, we're right now presenting the top 50.
Sunday, 1964. Was it Sun Easter Monday or Sunday?
When the start,
yeah.
It was Easter Saturday, midday, and quite a funny thing happened on that day. We had taken a restaurant in Fleet Street for the press launch, and of course, we got all the press in there. What we didn't know is that this restaurateur had been quite adventurous with his heating system. So he had covered the entire restaurant in copper, the walls, the ceiling. He had copper behind the decorations to heat the restaurant. Due to this copper, obviously, no signal could get in. So I had this massive great Zenith. I don't know whether you remember those radios. They were sort of an American-built set that was like some military purpose, but apparently could get a signal from anywhere at any time. We switched this on around midday, and of course, absolute silence. Nothing came through, and we thought, my God, something's gone wrong. Maybe the ultimate dreaded Admiralty ship has bumped into some other little ship floating out there. All kinds of dreadful thoughts, paranoia spread quickly. And I don't know, I honestly to this day don't know what made me do it, but I lifted the Zenith and I walked out of the restaurant, which is a little distance out into the street, followed by all these media folk. And the moment we hit the street, blasted, in came the sort of test signal, which was Ray Charles. And that's why sort of Ray Charles was special. It was special to me because he was the person who turned me on to music, i.e. in the sense that I was sitting in a flat in London one day, and in came Ray on an album, and suddenly you were converted in a way that it's hard to say. It's hard to say how strong it was, but I just knew I wanted to be involved with music in a rather serious way. And so we used Ray blasting. As the ship left, when it left the harbour and was coming around the coast, and it was all secret, nobody knew about it because we were obviously terribly frightened that if they got to know about it beforehand, they would do some dreadful things. But the tracks, we kept playing Ray Charles' albums because we knew that the only station that would be playing continuous Ray Charles music would only be Radio Caroline ship, so that we knew we could follow it.
The government were always saying, we're going to get a law to put these guys off the air. When did you realise that they're actually pretty serious about it?
Well, I mean, the idea of them not wanting anybody to be broadcasting, which is a different era, actually, to now. And the difference is that, I suppose, in those days, the control was in, you know, mostly in government hands. And they weren't too keen on independent broadcasting, independent voices. And obviously, government itself depends on the public to vote it in and out of office. And I suppose a station that was very popular and listened to by more than 50% of the country was a little bit of a danger if it was going to be saying the wrong things. And I think that was the motivation behind trying to get rid of us, trying to get us off the air.
When they first announced that they were going to bring in this new law and make it illegal for a British subject to have anything to do with Caroline, most of the other pirate radio stations said that they were going to continue broadcasting. Radio London notably said, we will keep going. Mm. You said Caroline will keep going. But gradually, as we got nearer to August the 14th, there was a little bit of bottle trouble going on with some of these radio stations.
It was extraordinary. It was stations who were going to continue started to, as the day, because the feeling of taking on the government, the full majesty, you know, all of that, people got very nervous about it, obviously. And each station, one after the other, started to say, you know, we're closing down. And basically, all of them, and listen, there were, by that time, there must have been 9 or 10 stations all around the country. The Scarborough Radio, Scotland Radio, this radio. I mean, there were a lot of ships out there doing it. And a lot of people were having a lot of good, you know, a lot of fun. Anyway, they all started closing. And then we got to the point of Caroline was, I mean, we never said anything, but we're just continuing what we're always doing. Now, obviously, a lot of the jocks who were going to stay that day, the actual day of the broadcast of the bill, they were resigning on air. Suddenly, guys had said to me, yes, we're going to go on with it, we're going to continue with you, were resigning. And you had these speakers in the office, and guys who said to me, I'm going to go, said, I'm leaving the boat now. And so there were a lot of parties going on around London at the time with all the some Radio London parties and everything. I suddenly had to start shooting around these parties looking for disc jockeys. And it was quite funny, you know, so going in and a bit of gloom in these places. And I was saying, like, anybody want to do a bit of DJing? And that's how we got some more disc jockeys. And then, of course, the famous Johnny Walker and a Robbie Dale and one other, Chris
Ian McRae, I think it was.
Who?
It was Ian McRae to begin with, who I think had been a newsreader on Radio City. But just going back before the 14th,
yeah.
when Radio London and other stations changed their mind and said, we're going to comply with this government law and we're going to close down, did you waver at all in your determination to keep going? Didn't you get a bit more nervous? Did you ever think for a moment, maybe this is a bit of a too big a battle?
Well, I know it sounds like insane to say I didn't, but I mean, I just never, ever, I genuinely never considered anything else. I mean, there was no question. I mean, you know, if they sort of started, you know, mowing us down with machine guns or something, obviously that would have been dramatic. But, I mean, you know, that would have been real serious. But it wasn't like that. I mean, I couldn't see. I mean, don't forget, I remember actually being in Caroline House that afternoon, and I remember Tom Mangold of the BBC being in the room and saying, you know, interviewing, so like, is Caroline really going to go on? And I said, yeah, of course, you know, of course it's going on. And you know, and he said, well, how do you see this thing? Well, I said, I see it two ways. I said, firstly, I said, if the positives, because I tend to look at the positives. I said, the first positive is, for the first time, the government is actually recognizing Caroline. So that's a huge step forward. Because obviously, if they'd said, look, you know, the bill would have really had to contain one line in it, you know, Caroline is illegal, arrest it. Now, they'd been saying all the time it was illegal. Now suddenly they realized it wasn't actually illegal, but they were going to make everybody who had anything to do with illegal, which is what they did in the bill. You know, they said if you're English and you're a disc jockey, you can broadcast from Moscow Radio, you know, and sedition against the government and fly back into Heathrow. But if you are an Englishman and you play a Beatles record on Radio Caroline, we'll arrest you when you come back to England. And that was a little bit strange and would have had problems with Court of Human Rights and other international courthouses around the world. I mean, we could have pursued very, you know, interesting legal cases. But in terms of, like, what did Caroline mean? I mean, it did mean a lot to a lot of people. I mean, it was like, on that ship a number of, well, hundreds of disc jockeys over the whole period. Some very special ones who, you know, and I have to say, Johnny, to you, you were one of the lone ones, and that speech you made up on your own, a lot of people said it was made up for you at an advertising agency, but I can vouch that you spontaneously made a speech up, which was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I remember we talked about it, and I said, what do you think I should say, Ryan? And you said, well, just, you know, just tell them we're going to keep going and play the Beatles. That was the only thing that you said would, as a suggestion, that the first record we played after midnight was the Beatles' All You Need Is Love.
Well, from the days of pirate radio to now, this is the Emperor Roscoe thanking you so much for inviting me to participate at this great anniversary of a truly great station. Yes, the years have been good. I'm still doing my thing. For more information, of course, you can always go to the website, EmperorRoscoe, EmperorRoscoe.com, and find out more. In the meantime, what can one say in such a short period of time about such a moving event? You know, we just had a great time, and it was marvelous to be a part of something that was breaking new ground, making history, so to speak. You have a great birthday, and may the pirates rule forever on the station of the nation.
Caroline, son of the nation. Caroline, son of the land. Caroline, the son of the nation.
Gutman wants to close them down, but we want them to stay. They're playing sounds that we all like, so don't take them away.
This is Radio Caroline. It is now 12 midnight. Would like to extend its thanks to Mr. Harold Wilson and his Labour government for at last, after over 3.5 years of broadcasting, recognizing this station's legality. It's right to be here. It's right to be broadcasting to Great Britain and the continent. It's right to give the music and service to the peoples of Europe, which we have been doing since Easter Sunday, 1964. And we, in turn, recognize your right as our listener to have freedom of choice in your radio entertainment. And, of course, that Radio Caroline belongs to you. It is your radio station, even though it costs you nothing. And as we enter this new phase in our broadcasting history, you naturally have our assurance that we intend to stay on the air because we belong to you and we love you. Caroline continues.
Oh, yeah, we love the pirate station.
We want to say welcome to the new phase of broadcasting from Caroline. I want you to remember something. That is, a station that belongs to you and is right cannot ever be taken away from you. And there are a lot of people along the coast tonight who are flashing their headlamps at us. Very, very nice to see you. You've made us more happy, and I couldn't think it was possible, but you have made us more happy than we are already.
It really is amazing to see all those cars out there and to know that we're not alone in this most important moment. It's tremendous.
Let's say a couple of thank yous now. Robbie and myself would like to thank our leader, Mr. Ronan O'Reilly, and Mr. Philip Solomon, all who work for Radio Caroline to make it possible for us to sit here and speak to you now. Also to thank the many, many people who have been with Caroline since that Easter Sunday, way back in 1964. And we are still here because you have given us such tremendous support. And we want to say thank you. And we know, naturally enough, we're going to have your support for a long, long time to come. And that's why we're going to sock it to them.
However, Radio Caroline didn't sock it to them for very long. Before the end of the 60s, both ships were towed back to Holland. The UK was again left with no commercial radio. However, in the 70s, commercial radio returned to the UK as an original Dutch station, RNI, moved over to the UK and started broadcasting its message. And with that, it changed its name to Caroline. Coming next, some extracts from RNI, which broadcast from the ship Mebo 2. And then the demise of the Caroline ship in 1980, the Mi Amigo.
In case you've just joined us, and in case you might be able to help us, Approximately 1 hour ago, the Nevo 2 was surrounded by a rather large tug, the Husky, from Willemstad, along with a launch, the Viking, registered in Panama and also owned, both of them owned by Mr. Herrmann, who is on board the ship. Along with him was Mr. Mundes, who I believe many of our readers, our listeners in Holland, have been well acquainted with the situation that's been going on over the past week. So, about an hour ago, the launch left the Nevo 2 after Mr. Mundes talked to our captain. The captain has told them that they are not allowed on the ship. This is international waters, and any act that might take place outside the territorial limit is an act of piracy. And now the tug, the Husky, from Willemstad, owned by the ship. Situation. The two boats have pulled away approximately 500 yards away from the Nevo 2 and are moving in a northeasterly direction away from the Nevo 2. We should keep you informed as to what's happening there. However, in the meantime, many, many thousands of people have been jamming the lines, calling in an attempt to contact our office in Zurich and in Scrivenia. We appreciate ever so much your help in this situation. However, we would appreciate if you would cease telephoning now, because it has jammed up the lines both in Zurich and in Scrivenia. Michael Lindsay.
Yes, I'd like to say that the two boats now have disappeared into the mist, and we'd like to say hello to everybody on the Dolphin that's just come out very close, and nearest it's ever been, I think, to us at the moment. We'd like to say hello to all the hundreds of people on board.
Thank you ever so much. It's really, in spite of everything bad that could have occurred today, it's fantastic to see the cooperation and the help. We thank you ever so much from every single person who helped in this particular situation this afternoon, especially to something like several hundred people who have come out towards the Nevo 2 in small boats, in large boats, to help us in this particular thing with Mr. Mundes and Mr. Ehrmann. Thank you ever so much once again. We'll be returning to normal programs rather shortly. However, if more developments should come up, we shall keep you informed. As a matter of fact, a rather good day to keep good music going, so why don't we continue?
We are having to abandon ship very soon. The bridge and the engine room are on fire. The fire is taking control of the ship. The fire is caused by a bomb thrown on board from a small motor ship. A small motor launch with an outboard motor. We do not know who it belongs to. We don't know where it came from or where it's going. It's launched with an outboard motor. We do not know who it belongs to. We don't know where it came from or where it's going. We're certainly bonkers for it was here. Caused by bombings in the engine room on Radio North Sea International, with radio ship Nevo 2. Once again, our exact position, please listen carefully, 52 degrees, 11 minutes north latitude, 4 degrees, 16 minutes longitude, west. I'm sorry, east. 4 degrees, 16 minutes east longitude, 52 degrees, 11 minutes latitude north. This is the Nevo 2 on fire. An outboard motor. We do not know who it belongs to. We don't know where it came from or where it's going. We're certainly going to call it.
Well, we're sorry to tell you that due to the severe weather conditions and also to the fact that we're shoving quite a lot of water, we're closing down and the crew are at this stage leaving the ship. Obviously, we hope to be back with you as soon as possible, but we'd just like to assure you all on land that there's nothing to worry about. We're all quite safe. Just for the moment, we'd like to say goodbye. Tom?
Yeah, it's not a very good occasion, really. I have to hurry this because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboat, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back. If not, well, I don't like to say it.
I think we'll be back one way or another.
Yeah, I think so.
From all of us, for the moment, goodbye and God bless.
Commemorating 40 years of commercial radio from Radio Caroline, we now move forward to 1983, when after all the trials and tribulations, yet again, Radio Caroline returned to the airwaves.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Radio Caroline on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. I'm Tom, and for the next hour, I'd like to take you on a couple of musical journeys through the past two decades.
To some, it seemed that Radio Caroline was back and nobody could touch it. However, the elements had different ideas, and it wasn't always plain sailing out there in the North Sea. Steve Conway, who was then news reporter on Caroline and now with a station in Ireland, recalls what it could be like when it got very gusty.
I joined Caroline towards the end of the 80s. Things were running fairly smoothly at first. It was 1987. That was the year that the British government extended the territorial waters again, which forced us to move the ship further out to sea. Up to then, we'd always been able to anchor in the Thames estuary, but now we were right out at sea, too far away from land to get any protection from storms. The day I'll never forget on Caroline is the 16th of October 1987, the day of the Great Hurricane, which devastated southeast England. We were expecting a storm because we'd listened to the shipping forecast, but we were totally unprepared for the sheer strength and ferocity of it. We'd all been through storms before, but this was something really different. The waves were enormous. The spray was filling the air higher than the top of the ship's bridge. You just looked out and all you could see was this white foam flying through the air. I was up about 5:30 that morning because I was doing the news shift for the breakfast show, and the first thing I noticed was I couldn't get anything on the TV. We assumed that the little TV aerial had been blown off the roof in the storm, but actually the TV transmitters in Kent were all off the air. I tuned into BBC Radio 4 to get the shipping forecast. I heard about the devastation on land and the fact that all the roads were blocked and that all the ships had headed for port. So there we were, in the middle of the hurricane. The winds in our area were gusting to 100 miles an hour, and we had no option but to just sit there and take it. We had great fun on the breakfast show that morning. We had to go off the air twice when our aerial got damaged by flying debris. And even though it was absolute lunacy to go outside and fiddle with the wires and the stays in the middle of the hurricane, we did it because we wanted to get Caroline back on the air. We survived it too, and we managed to stay on the air for most of the day when most of the stations on land had been knocked off. We did have some great times out on the ship in the summer when the weather was good and the living was easy, but I always enjoyed the winter more. You never knew what you were going to wake up to, and I think the unpredictability made it so exciting.
By this time, people were beginning to think Radio Caroline was indestructible. However, governments had different ideas, and in 1989, listeners heard this.
Caroline 558, we will be leaving the air any moment now. The boarding party are finding their way to the transmitter room, and they are going to dismantle all our broadcasting gear, take the studio to pieces, dismantle the generators, and then incapacitate the ship totally. They'll also be taking staff with them, but I'm not too sure exactly how that one works at the moment. But they are now making their way downstairs. We will be going off the air any time.
Nigel, this is the saddest day of my life, and I think it's going to be a sad day for a lot of people.
Yeah. I know, but we just can't fight them. There's too many of them. They have a type the size of the Ross, and it's not the end, I'm sure, although it's easy to say that.
The Ross Revenge is not the only ship in the world. We will be back. We can assure you that.
Caroline will be back. Caroline will return.
19th of August, 1989 is the day the UK, Great Britain, became a totalitarian state.
Radio Caroline, we love you too much to leave you forever. Please keep tuned over the weeks and months to come to our frequencies. And I feel sure that you will hear something in the not-too-distant future. We've got a further news update for you. Here's Dave Richards.
Yes, the situation is that representatives from the Dutch government and Coast Guard are on board. Their intention is, in fact, to take various broadcast equipment. We're not sure whether that includes AC generator supply, but surely it does include our shortwave frequency, the 819 frequency, and vital components, or the whole transmitter for the 558 frequency. Also our studio equipment, what they intend us as people no harm. The basic problem is that they basically just want this ship off the air. They're leaving the ship and they're leaving the people on board it.
We have the option to go ashore apparently if we want to. Right.
Don't
you know what's happening?
Bruce Monroe, come on. Explain things.
Right. As it stands, the gentlemen are going to remove the transmitter from the ship and take a few other things as well. What they have just told us is that we are free to go back to Holland with them, where there will be no more charges pressed. We will also be able to go back to England, and there will be no charges pressed there. Alternatively, we can stay on the Russia Revenge.
Say anything, sir, before we go off.
All right, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I know one day she's gonna be mine.
However, even that didn't silence Radio Caroline. Just a few weeks later, she was back on the air again. However, in the 90s, the anchor chain of the Ross Revenge broke loose, and she was eventually towed into Dover Harbour. From there, she moved to her current mooring in Medway. And with the 90s saw the start of Radio Caroline as a satellite station, and that's where she broadcasts today, on World Space Around the World, via the internet, and on satellite. And she sounds a little bit like this.
In the 20th century, Radio Caroline changed the face of broadcasting. Caroline. And we're going to do it in the 21st. Europe's first album station. The voice of loving awareness. This is Caroline.
I'm Pandora. Welcome into my rock box right here on Radio Caroline on this Saturday afternoon. I have a wonderful guest here in the studio who is so knowledgeable, and you should really see him because he looks like a mad professor with... No, don't take your glasses. Put your glasses back on here. He has these great little granny glasses. He looks over them. I don't think he actually ever uses them. I'm Pandora, doing rock and talk to get the cerebral, the sensual, the spiritual, the spooky, and the smiling juices flowing.
This is Radio Caroline. Caroline.
Loving awareness.
It's a
Caroline. Imagine the difference love makes.
This is Caroline.
It now leaves me to thank everybody that made this documentary possible, the pioneering broadcasters and the contributors of today. And the final word? Well, that goes to veteran broadcaster Roger Twiggy Day.
Caroline today still has a bit of that magic, believe it or not. Although it's not on the boat, which, of course, you can't recreate that atmosphere. It's a studio that you can't see out of, down at the old TV studios in the Mason, just down the road from where I live. There is some of that magic still there, I have to say. And I do feel more relaxed on that radio station than I do anywhere else at all. And it's not, as the critics say, because it hasn't got any listeners. I can tell you it has. When I first went back last year, and I've been putting it off for a long time, I have to admit, I thought it'd just be a couple of sad old anoraks. That is far from the truth. Of course, there are old-timers who remember me for my first time on there. There's a lot of new people tuning in who care diddly squat about what I did before, but like what I do now, which really is the same old act as I did in the 60s. I'm too old to change. I'm like the Keith Richard. I'm growing old disgracefully. I'm very proud of it, too. A bit like the radio station, I suppose. We're all growing old disgracefully, and we've still got that rebel stance. We broadcast, as you know, on Sky Digital, the net, and a thing called World Space as well. And the response is phenomenal from all around the world. And we're talking about some intelligent people here. I have top lawyers in California listening to me. My God, how impressed are you with that? We're still breaking new music, and there's not enough of that on modern radio. There's also not enough fun. We have plenty of fun on that radio station. We don't use research at all. We still program by gut feel and knowledge. And I don't think you can actually replace that. If you've got a real pro, and I'm not saying I am a real pro, programming a radio station, you can tell the difference that one that's done by a robot and a research guru. God help us from research. Caroline will continue, because of idiots like me.
Radio Tatras International, from the heart of Europe to the world.